It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, welcome to the Talking City podcast, coming to you, as always, from the Manchester Evening News. My name's Joe Bray, joined by Simon Bykovsky, and today we're talking title races because it's done and dusted. City are going to win the title, how good is that?
Yes, yeah, we can take the next 6 weeks off, it's very nice.
We, you know, a couple of weeks ago, City were behind, they were out of it, they were, you know, not going to win a fourth in the row, and then suddenly a win against Luton, a bit of a goal difference boost, and now Arsenal and Liverpool have... Well, they were never going to win it anyway, were they? They were the underdogs that are just
it is in, the end of the road. It is incredible that it's 2 weeks since City drew with Arsenal.
Yeah.
And there were so much written after that, and so many problems, kind of genuine problems within the City team. And can they beat a good team this season? Can they overcome their injury crisis? You know, but we said at the time, kind of, Arsenal seemed a bit more happy with the point than maybe they should have been, and had Arsenal won that day or shown a bit more intent to win, then they'd be top now and City wouldn't. But yeah, City have gone top for the first time since November. They've stayed top after a game week. A remarkable turn of events. It's been different this year because it's been a three-way title race, and still is a three-way title race. But you know, City had the opportunity to put pressure on, did on Saturday, and then Arsenal and Liverpool played after each other on Sunday, and both contrived to lose at home. What a day of Premier League football. What a weekend for City. But like, yeah, if when people watch Premier League years back and things like that, and this season, then this may well be the weekend where everyone looks back and says that's where it happened.
Because a lot of the reaction in the last 24 hours has been a bit overblown and sort of a lot of revisionism, but it does feel like it is quite an important weekend. Because like we were saying after the Arsenal game, yes, City could have done with winning, but they would have preferred, when you compare the Liverpool and Arsenal results, it was a better, probably a more important not to lose is sort of this conclusion we settled on, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is sort of shown why.
Yeah, exactly. And like we said at the time, you know, Arsenal had kind of the advantage, and yes, they'd lost every game under Arteta at City, so they probably saw it as progress that they didn't lose, but it was there for them to win. Just as, you know, Anfield was there for City to win last month. And they didn't. And that result was taken as kind of more of a positive for Liverpool than it was for City. I've got, you know, someone I know who supports Arsenal who is adamant that everyone has always been convinced that City were going to win the league. But, like, certainly after that Arsenal draw, it felt like that was seen as, yeah, like...
There was more questions.
A wasted opportunity for City. Everyone's waiting for this moment from City, but if it doesn't come against Arsenal and they're still ahead in the league, like, is it going to come? And are Arsenal going to blink? I think the reaction to yesterday has been pretty extraordinary. You know, everyone acting as if the league's done and as if City have won it. And it's like... And also, like, these two teams have crumbled. And maybe they have, but also, like, you're allowed to lose a game of football in, what, 2 months for Liverpool and 4 months for Arsenal? Like, it can happen. And it doesn't mean that they're mentally weak. And they've seen City come in and they've crumbled. City have put more pressure on them. Maybe there's mental, psychological factors in play that have directly caused the defeat. But maybe... You know, Aston Villa were very good. Crystal Palace were very good.
Both have taken points off City as well.
Exactly. So, like, you know, sometimes you have to give credit to the opposition. And, you know, if City had been 2 points behind today or 1 point behind today, no one would have been saying the title race was done. So I don't think the fact that City are top means that everyone can say the title race is done.
And by the next time City play... Both Arsenal and Liverpool will have played twice.
Yeah.
So they could be 4 points behind.
Yeah. And this
and
is
it's
where.
It's all different all over again.
Yeah. And this is where we see mentality because, you know, I don't think it kind of plays out until this stage of the season. But the last 2 weekends, City have gone into playing first, knowing that if they win, they put pressure on. And if they don't, they don't, you know, we spoke to Rico Lewis after Palace and he said, you know, if any loss at this point can be fatal, but any win you pick up is massive. And he spoke as City were top of the league, waiting for Liverpool and Arsenal to play. Arsenal won and Liverpool didn't. And then this weekend, City play on the Saturday, thump Luton, get a bit of a goal difference boost, and the pressure's on Liverpool and Arsenal again. So Arsenal and Liverpool are now 2 points behind City. So... You're thinking, if they're playing two games now before City do, they will want to, if they get 4 points from out of six, they're only 2 points ahead of City, having played two games more. Mm-hmm. So they need to win them both to be 4 points ahead that City need to get a result in both of their games in hand. If the next time City play, they can think, well, we can lose this match and still win the league. Not that they would, but if they know they've got a game to play with, then it is completely their advantage. But it is on Arsenal and Liverpool to show why they've got so many points after 32 games and to win their next two matches.
I think Guardiola said before the game he would prefer City's position ahead of Arsenal and Liverpool's, and they kind of like chasing. They're used to chasing, they're used to being chased. I don't think they expected to be leading this soon, given how it all panned out over Easter. And after the game, City go top and he says, well, it doesn't matter because they've played a game less. So it's not a realistic scenario.
Yeah. I think they like whichever position they're in, which means they win. I think when they're top, they like winning. I think when they are... not top, they're like hunting. So it's all a bit of mind games. But I don't think anyone expects them to be top after this weekend. But that is a 38 game season, and that is why you know, Guardiola and so many of the players love winning the league, because it really, like, you know, Champions League, FA Cup, you got to turn up on the day. And, you know, if you turn up and beat Real Madrid, you win the Champions League. If you don't, then you don't. Like, the league, you can lose to Arsenal. But if you beat Luton, you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And City have beaten Luton and both teams have lost. And suddenly there's a huge
swing. It sort of
swing.
Supports the look after yourself mantra that has got them through so many titles and win the next game.
And, I think, as we've been saying recently, like, there's a kind of danger that City's performance has been underplayed this season because Arsenal and Liverpool were better than them after 31 games. Like, it's felt like City have been hanging on and hanging on in there because they've not been as good as they were last season. I don't think anyone would deny that. No. And they've been behind in the league. They've been third. So, you know, you sort of, now they're first again, it's like, oh, right, they've got no problems and they're amazing and they're always going to win the league. And it's like, well, no, those problems still exist, but they deserve real credit for just so much consistent brilliance.
I think the results have obviously improved since the Arsenal game.
Yeah.
As Guardiola made the point of reminding us, they've scored five goals. The performances haven't still, it's still not been a complete performance, has it? But I think the mindset's changed into be, we've just got to do what we have to do to win. And Guardiola said after the Luton game, he said, I don't know what happens tomorrow with Arsenal and Liverpool, but if we don't win today, I know they will win 100%. All we can do is win our games and put pressure and make them feel that. And he said, if we can't win the league, but we've won all our games, we've got to congratulate the opponents. And we're now seeing Arteta and Klopp saying, well, we knew this moment was going to come. We knew they'd overtake us at some point. And Klopp saying, if we play like that, we're not going to win the league. And it's sort of out of our hands. And that's true. But it feels like City's mentality has always stayed the same.
Yeah.
And Arsenal and Liverpool have sort of ridden on emotion a bit. And it's gone extreme, high to low. And
yeah, and that again will be mind games from Arsenal and Liverpool, kind of saying, you know, it's on City now. Yeah. We always knew City, because the big danger I think you've written about for City is that, like, they now believe the hype and they're like, yeah, we've won, we're the best team, we don't need to do anything. And that is what kind of Guardiola fights against every day, that complacency. But, you know, it's interesting with goals, because after the Bayern game, you know, it was... the Arsenal game where they drew 0-0, we were kind of thinking, yeah, they're sort of like, they're behind both on goal difference. They're not doing that well in that regard. And now they are the top scoring team in the league, having scored 13 in the last three.
Even on Saturday and Sunday, a 6-goal swing with Arsenal.
Yeah.
Suddenly that Arsenal goal difference we've been talking about is not as daunting as it was.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, Arsenal have scored 5 goals in the last three, included a 2-0 win over Luton, so sort of plus two, but not the 5 goals. Liverpool have also scored 5 in the last three. So, you know, it's been really good from City in a short space of time. But I remember speaking to Ruben Dias about this, and we were talking about sort of the fact that City always come good in the second half of the season and the last bit of the season. And he's like, yeah, but don't undermine the work we've done to get there.
Yeah,
like, we've been chipping away all this time to get there, and, like, yes, we like to raise ourselves for the big occasion, but it is still 6-7 months of really hard work to put ourselves in that position. And yeah, they're still 5 goals behind Arsenal, so they might not catch them on goal difference, but they are, I think they were 10 behind, so they've halved that, and they're also 2 points ahead of them, which is more important.
I think Guardiola said as much when he was asked, do your players get more focused at this point of the season? I'm just reading the quotes now. He said, in October, November, you think that you're trying to do it, but you're just not focused because you're travelling and you're doing all this. And I think the history of what City have done in the last few years has got them to a point where they can just even put performances to one side and just be like, we've got to win this game and know what they've got to do. And I do think it helps them that they've got Real Madrid coming up and Chelsea and they've got big games. It's not like they did what they had to do against Luton, but I think they're better when they have bigger games, one after the other.
Yeah, and they are more tired from having those bigger games and those extra games, but you also know that sort of one loss can destabilise you. Like, it's really difficult to come back from a defeat. And, you know, we've seen Liverpool went to Old Trafford in the FA Cup, should have won the game, didn't. Went to Old Trafford in the league, like, 2 weeks later, should have won the game, didn't. That's been followed by a terrible result at home to Atalanta. And then they've lost at home to Palace, like, 2 defeats at Anfield in a week. It seems unheard of. And yeah, Liverpool have had injuries, but this is when they've got players coming back. But it's like, you know, people were talking about a quadruple for Liverpool and they might only end up with a League Cup. And that doesn't, like, invalidate their performances this season, but it shows how quickly everything can collapse. I think I remember one season under Pellegrini when City were on for the quadruple, and then it was like 1 week in February and it all went to pot. I think they went out of the Champions League to Barcelona, to Wigan in the FA Cup, and they went out to maybe Middlesbrough in the FA Cup, and they went out, they sort of showed in the league that they weren't going to catch Chelsea, and it was like, yeah, like it's all very well talking about four, but now you're down to like one at best, and it can all very quickly disappear before your eyes. So that's what City have been so good at, making those foundations to keep on for as many competitions as they are, and I think those spur you on.
Yeah, and Guardiola said he said a couple of times his team feels alive, and he's noticed that switch, I think, has now been turned on.
Yeah, and I think Walker said around the Club World Cup, he was like, we never get tired of seeing confetti. And it's such a good way to put it, and it sums up this season really, because it has been a struggle for City. They've had to deal with sort of the physical and mental aftermath of the treble,
mm-hmm.
and they've had an extra two competitions to play in, but those extra two competitions, the Super Cup, really kind of lifted them up and pulled them through to beat Newcastle in the league a few days later.
Yeah,
and they'd just drawn with Palace, and I think it was 1-6 in the league when they went away for the Club World Cup. Foden finds something that he's been missing at the Club World Cup. They win to be named world champions, and they come back after that sort of triumph, and they're a different beast in the Premier League.
But it's inevitable. They always do this.
Maybe I've missed all the bits where people have been talking City up. I haven't seen too much of it. And I think people who've watched City regularly this season have not been talking them up. We certainly said they can win it and they can win the treble, but like there are still problems in the side, and the side still aren't as good as they were last year. And the competition is better.
Absolutely, and you say that it can all unravel quickly. They've got a semi-final that they've only drawn, a quarter-final they've only drawn, and a semi-final against a team they've not beat this season in the next few days. So,
yeah, exactly. It could be from 3-1 in,
and then they could come back in the 4 points behind, in the title races.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like they've never been closer to defending the treble than they are
mm-hmm.
right now. They're 12 games away from it, but in 2 games with 10 games to go, they could be out of 2 competitions and 4 points behind.
And you feel like that did happen, maybe it'd have a knock-on effect on the Premier League.
Well, because mentally it is so difficult to come back. One of the best results City ever got was City 1-0, which came days after Tottenham had knocked them out of the Champions League quarters in 2019, because
Foden,
I think one of his first Premier League starts, and I think it was the only header he'd scored before this season. Yeah. But like everyone who was in that stadium for the Champions League game was so crushed.
Yeah.
As that image of Pep on his knees. And to pick themselves up in a title race where Liverpool ended up with 98 points, to be a very good Spurs team again, it will go down as one of their best results, because it's really, really tough once you sort of stop winning to come back and win again. And Liverpool have found that lately, and Arsenal will have to find it. You know, how much did playing against Bayern at a level where they are not used to playing, and Bayern aren't amazing in the league, but City have seen in recent years that big teams and the biggest clubs turn it on in the Champions League. Bayern know how to put on a show in the Champions League and are a real force, and they were on Tuesday night at the Emirates. You know, how much did that take out of Arsenal for Sunday? We don't know, but you can't rule it out. And now they've got to go to Munich, having been sort of, you know, really positive and in our first Champions League quarter final for ages and high in the Premier League. They've now got to go to Munich, where they are only drawing, to try and beat one of the best clubs ever in Europe.
I feel like Bayern will have a bit of something to show after losing the Bundesliga.
Yeah. And Tuchel's on his way out, so it doesn't matter what he, you know, it's almost like the gloves are off and the handbrake's off. And, you know, they battered City at the Allianz last year. It was City, mm-hmm. City had won 3-0 in the first leg, so they didn't mind so much, and they dug in because they were a team good enough to win the treble. But it's a hell of an ask for Arsenal.
I think Arteta said, now is the moment to stand up and be counted. When you win and win and win for 4 months, it's simple to do it. The moment to do it is now.
Yeah, and that's it. And, you know, he's got a team that is capable of doing it, but it's still really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. I think that's where experience comes in.
Yeah.
But still, on the evidence of this season, like, until this weekend, City were the third best team. So, you know, there's no guarantees that they will be the first best team after 38.
Well, there you are. The title has not been decided. Contrary to all the back pages on Monday, we'll be back after a short break and look into the game that got City to the top of the league for now, which was a 5-1 win against Luton.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, welcome back to the Talking City podcast. Before we get into Luton, just a reminder that we'll be back throughout this week looking ahead to the Real Madrid game. We've got a YouTube video podcast on Tuesday from the press conference where Guardiola and a player will be speaking, and we'll be seeing who's in open training, who's back, who's a doubt, that sort of thing. We'll have a post-game podcast from the Etihad on Wednesday to see if City are in the Champions League semi-finals or not, and then we'll be looking ahead to Chelsea in the FA Cup as usual on Friday. So make sure you're following us on YouTube and your usual podcast places for all that. Si, Luton was always going to be the lesser of the games this week, but City did the job. It was another early goal. We thought that it would be a procession from them, but Luton, to be fair to them, dug deep. I'm not sure it warranted all the praise that they got because they ended up losing 5-1. But it was a game where Guardiola made a lot of changes, didn't appear to get any injuries. And obviously we've been talking about the implications it had on the league. So it felt like a very productive afternoon.
Yeah, I think Luton dug deep, but City were wasteful. They weren't good on the ball after, I think, as good as the early goal was, it kind of took them back a bit and maybe thought, oh, we can score as many as we like and we don't have to do much here.
Was it Foden who said they scored too early in Madrid?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, although, yeah, weighing up Madrid and Luton. I think it was sort of 63, 64, they only got the second goal. So it was a long old wait, and they'd sort of been loose enough defensively, as always, that you sort of thought, well, Luton aren't really creating anything. But if they were to, they might get something. I think like the first half was maybe like 19-0 for shots. It was total domination, but you still thought City only usually need to concede one chance to let in a goal. So there was jeopardy from that side, and kind of as soon as they scored the second, which was a good take from Kovacic, they then conceded. Oh no, they didn't. Did they concede?
It was 3 by the time Luton got one.
Right. No, the Woodrow hit the bar.
Yes, yeah.
And then, yeah, some late goals, some nice work from Jeremy Doku. Erling Haaland back in the goals with a penalty. And Edison back in the team, so quite interesting for...
I think that was always going to happen.
For Wednesday, yeah, yeah.
If he started Ortega at the Bernabeu and said he did that mainly because Edison didn't have the match fitness behind him, to give himself the option of starting Edison at home, you've got to play him against.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it'd still be interesting to see if he keeps his place or if Ortega comes back in for Real at home. Mm.
It was one of those games where you can't really judge the goalkeeper.
No, no. I think he said Edison's still his number one, didn't he?
Yes, yeah, made that clear.
So, it was a very good afternoon for City, and obviously turned into a fantastic weekend for them. It still kind of showed with the players that were rested that, you know, there is kind of a drop off once you get to some of the more squad players. Mateus Nunes has not quite done it this year, and sort of.
See, with Nunes, I don't think he's done badly, but.
It's
not like when Calvin Phillips would come in and
although it was quite Phillips-ish with the goal he conceded. If Phillips had done that, he would have been absolutely killed.
His slip in the area when he was through as well was a
so he's had the ball in the opposition box and fallen over, and then he's had the ball on the edge of his own box and he's fallen over and Luton have scored from it. So, you know, if Phillips does that, then we're talking meme levels, but we're not there with Nunes. I've kind of thought for a while that Nunes makes the very difficult stuff look easy.
Yeah.
And that is his potential as a player. And you can see how if it clicks, then it will be really, really good. Mm-hmm. But on Saturday and all through the season, he's made the easy stuff look far too difficult and stuff like that. You can't be giving away possession on the edge of your own box.
Well, Guardiola keeps talking about his sort of dynamism, doesn't he, and the runs that he makes.
Yeah,
no one else can do that, and that's fair, and I think that's where his potential is, but it is tying it all together.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, if he's making those dynamic runs, where is he making them from? Because if he's making them as a number eight, well, he's maybe not so much in the team to do that, or not the number eights that Pep has played with for the last few years. So, you know, does he have to have a different role for that? And how does that affect the balance of the team? And, you know, I think there's room to see potential for Nunes, but also sort of the reality that he's a bit of a square peg at the minute in
I think he could be quite useful next season when there's an extra two Champions League games.
Yeah.
Potentially again, Super Cup and...
And also...
replaces the Club World Cup.
Yeah, I don't think he was academy trained, was he?
No, he wasn't.
He's kind of not behind in his football development, but he's not quite as on board as others maybe at 23, 24, whatever he is. And, you know, Bernardo Silva didn't see the best of him in his first year, played a lot.
He's 25.
25.
But I think that, again, reflects the fact that he's doing academies.
Yeah.
Basically started when he was 21.
And so, you know, I think that he, with another kind of pre-season under Pep, because he didn't really get a pre-season under Pep. Also, you've got to factor in, he was sort of on strike at Wolves, wasn't he? And only a late addition. Was it September he came in?
It was
the very end of August. So he's not had that kind of focus, and sort of players like a full pre-season and clubs like a full pre-season. So he will get that. But yeah, you know, if you're talking about who to play or who to bring on in a big Premier League or Champions League game, I don't think Nunes is at the point where you would want him.
He's going to be the one to help Rodri get the rest that he wants and help...
After Kovacic, probably after Lewis.
Another body in the midfield, maybe not Rodri, but if De Bruyne needs a rest. Because Pep made it very clear.
Yeah.
If you're winning 3-0 on 75 minutes, De Bruyne's coming off.
I'm not sure how many starts he gets between now and the end of the season.
Depends how early they win the title now. It's wrapped up.
Yeah.
Guardiola was quite positive about Gvardiol, who had another good game, another good goal. You wait for ages and then he two rockets with his right foot.
Two in a week on his weaker foot.
Come at once. He sort of said, I think we touched on it in a recent podcast, that he was trying to do too much. And Guardiola said that, didn't he? He was like,
yeah.
He was trying to be too good when actually he just wants his defenders to do the simple thing. And
yeah,
but he seems quite happy with how he's progressed and how he's listened to the advice on the training pitch.
Yeah, and the player himself is very happy with how things are going. And you know, why wouldn't you be after scoring that at the Bernabeu? But you know, we spoke to him maybe a few months into the season. He did a press conference before a Champions League game. And his verdicts on playing left back was not quite as positive as Guardiola's verdicts on him playing left back. You know, it's been a challenge for him, and maybe one that he didn't fully expect, but he seems to be embracing it more now, and you can understand why, as he's getting more up to grips with what is wanted, and he's doing it better. You know, I don't think anyone wished the injury on Ake or Walker's injury, meaning that Akanji was sort of had to play right back, but maybe it's done him good to sort of be the trusted man. And you know, at the Bernabeu it was like, oh great, Guardiola's fit, you know, so having that kind of responsibility and importance on him without kind of others pressing their cases ahead of him has maybe helped. And he is someone who now, you would look at, and Ake's still ahead of him, but not by much. And you know,
at the start of the season, it was okay, he's not quite right there at fullback.
Yeah, and if Ake's back, then he's maybe not back to play three games a week. So Guardiola is someone who you would say, he's probably going to start half the games between now and the end of the season.
I think Guardiola said he's better on his right foot, but after those two goals. Maybe he's just talking about the shooting.
That's
a weapon now that we didn't know he had.
No, but he had quite a few other chances in the game as well. He got forward a lot, and then there was a header, the cross face a goal and stuff like that, so he is a threat in the other box, and he does love to get forward.
But it's one of them, like, we look ahead to the summer, you think, do they need a left back? And maybe if they've got Ake and Guardiola, they can focus attention somewhere else.
So always the question, do they need a left back? No, we'll be asking that in 50 years, and they still won't be signing one. No, I don't think they do particularly need
they've worked out how to play without one, haven't
a left
they?
Back. Yeah, and Akanji can play there, and you know, I think right back might be more of a position than left back to go for.
I think that's a question for another podcast. A lot of games coming. Rodri got the rest that he wanted. We didn't think he would after Friday, because Pep was pretty unsympathetic with his public calls for having a game off or two, and he was saying, well, everyone else is tired, he wants to rest central defenders, he wants to rest everyone, but it's not that simple. But he also said if a player comes to him and says he doesn't want to play, he will allow that.
Yeah.
And then Rodri is rested, but he's sort of warming up at half time. He spent almost all of the second half standing on the touchline looking back to the bench saying, can I come back? It didn't feel like a sort of a happy rest. I don't know.
No, certainly not kind of. I think because when he was suspended earlier in the season, I think they just let him go to Madrid earlier than he would have done for the Spain call-ups. So, you know, it wasn't quite that. I'd have been tempted to do that. But
and we see sometimes if De Bruyne or Haaland are on the bench with no intention of playing them.
Yeah.
They don't even warm up before the game.
No. I think I don't know whether Pep was unhappy with kind of the way he made his comments to us, or you know, rather than keeping it private,
or well for any future chats,
anything like that. But it kind of felt like, well, yes, I will bow to the inevitable and give you the rest that you.
It was a sensible thing
clearly
to do.
Need. Yeah. It would have been lunacy to start him, but at the same time, sticking to his mantra of, you know, tiredness isn't an excuse, and I want players who are willing to push through the fatigue and everything else to play. But then you look at, like, you know, Rodri's also talking after the Real game about how great it was that John Stones, like, pushed through and played through the pain there. And then it's like, well, he's not even in the squad on Saturday. So, like, as good as it is to play through Wednesday, you're now not fit for Saturday. And
do you know, as I introduced this, I was saying, I know there's an injury, but I can't think of it. So I'll say no injury.
But I don't think, you know, I don't think it'll be an issue for the second leg. Yeah. But it's still like,
I think Guardiola said on Stones that it was a precaution.
Walker
and Ake back as well.
But it was tightness from Stones. But like, Rodri certainly looked tight when he was, you know, finding the finding the stands rather than finding his teammates on Wednesday and on Tuesday at Real and on Saturday at Palace?
I think if you ask Guardiola what he wanted from that Luton game, he ticked off pretty much everything in terms of, he even got Sergio Gomez on the pitch, which he said he's a lovely guy, he can get some minutes.
Nearly scored, didn't he?
I might have had my head down in my...
I think he hit the post. He either hit the post or he set someone else up to hit the post.
Well, there we are. Might be in line for a start against Madrid on the back of that. We'll be back after short break to discuss Madrid and who starts and who doesn't, and will City get through in what promises to be a fantastic tie. Hello, welcome back to the Talking City podcast. Real Madrid up next at home. If it's anything like last year, we're in for a thrill. If it's anything like last week.
Yeah, or the one before last year, that was 4-3, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, yes. Good games between the best, some of the
I
best
teams.
I think
Ancelotti has already said we want this game to be exactly the same end to end.
Right. Yeah.
We want it to be the same as the Bernabeu. We don't want. We're not going to change how we play.
No. And they were kind of, you know, I think City will take heart from the first leg and real positives from the fact that they went there, they got a draw, they fought back. But the mood in Madrid last week was really quite nervy and tense because, you know, the last time they'd met, City had battered them 4-0.
Yeah.
So Real, as kind of disappointed as they will have been to see City get the draw and score three goals against them and show how potent they still are, they'll be happy to still be in the tie and kind of, you know, now here's where revenge kicks in and they really try and, you know, undo what was done last year.
Are Real Madrid the ones who keep changing the hotel in Manchester, or is that Atletico?
No, that's, it might be Leipzig or I think it might be Leipzig.
Yeah, that does ring a bell.
Or Copenhagen. One of those,
the teams that they play every single year. And it seems to draw. It's because they keep playing them and keep drawing against them. But I feel like City, as we said before, very happy to be playing a big game. Just keep the big occasions coming. And if they want to win it, they know they have to beat the best.
And I also thought to say the game was pretty dead on Saturday, I thought the crowd were really good, especially in the second half, just picking up just like, if there's no action in the game, we're just going to sing.
There was a moment just before the second goal, so we'd had about an hour.
Yeah, it was around that point. It was like 55 to 65.
And the chants just slowly make their way around the stadium. It doesn't always happen. It's often just in the south stand,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
But the whole stadium started singing and suddenly the City get a few corners and then Kovacic rifles one in. I think the fans did play a part.
I think that was kind of like the perfect example of where the fans lead and the team follow rather than sort of people sat there waiting to be entertained.
And as City walked back, Guardiola's waving his hands around and saying, come on, we want more of that.
And, you know, I think there will be another pretty special atmosphere on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So that will help City, and Real will, you know, be aware of that and know that they are up against it.
We saw Kevin De Bruyne start after his sickness. He was withdrawn for the last 15, 20 minutes. You'd expect him to come in, given he was meant to start against Real Madrid in Spain. But how does that move the team around, do you think?
Well, I think it's a more attacking and a more aggressive team. You bring De Bruyne in for Kovacic and you aim to have that sort of that start that they had last year, basically, of just pinning Madrid back.
And you can move Bernardo back if you want to, or do you see how he's
performing? Also, he was kind of chief destroyer last year. So I think they will look to be on the front foot and suffocate him early on and try and get a goal early on to kind of take some of the hope out of Real. Mm-hmm. I think you can pick the front six now. It's more the defence where the questions are.
Well, that's it. We've got Walker maybe back. Guardiola was not really committing on that. He said if he's fit, he can play, but do you risk him? And he pointed that Akanji did quite well. Real changed the tactics a bit and put both of the wingers or both of the forwards down Akanji's side, but it worked all right in City's defence. You got Stones who might be there, might not be. I think you're right, that's going to be the... It'll be depend on fitness again.
Yeah. And it's the risk. I mean, Pep's spoken about risk with injuries before, and around Real Madrid 2 years ago when they brought Walker and Stones back and they lost them both. Is it worth, I mean, Walker thinks he can play.
Yeah.
But is it worth?
I think Walker could have casts on both his legs and think he could play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it worth saying, right, we're going to use Kyle for this game because he is our best bet against Vinicius and Rodrigo, because they were both on Akanji's side last week and it was pretty hellish for him, although he did very well. Is it worth doing Walker for this game if it rules him out of the next 10?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that is a risk that player and manager want to take. Maybe it is, and that's kind of what they've got to weigh up over the next few days, because, you know, as much as he is very good physically, like, it's still huge to not play for a month and then to walk into a Champions League game against Real Madrid and against, you know, some of the best attackers in the world.
I'd be tempted to not play him and anticipate that there will be problems ahead of Chelsea, given there's not much of a turnaround, and potentially bring him and Ake back then, because the defence did okay. I know they conceded
times. So I'd be tempted to play him, and but then it's who do you leave out, and it's it's a really, as much as last week it was like, who does City play in the case of like everyone's out, it's almost more difficult now.
Now people are back.
Now people have started to come back, because again, Ake, is Ake fit enough that he can just slide straight back in? Like, we'll have to see over the next few days in training.
And they're both back in training, so we will hear from Guardiola tomorrow.
But he won't be giving anything away.
I suspect he will say, we'll see what's happened in training later, and then open training we'll get a bit more of a picture, but without any commitment from Guardiola.
Yeah, I think so.
Can we get a predicted score from you?
I think 3-1 to City.
I think it could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna go 4-3 again. I don't. And I'd feel more confident of a high scoring game than a 1-0.
Yeah,
because I think these two teams just love going sort of box to box against each other.
Yeah,
I've not said who the 4-3 is for, by the way. We'll be back tomorrow, as we say, on Tuesday on YouTube. Simon and Tyrone will be at the press conference and training, so we will give you the latest on Walker and Ake and Stones and anyone else who's a doubt and may or may not be there. As I say, we'll be at the Etihad on Wednesday for all the action throughout the evening, all the reaction and a post-match podcast, and then back on Friday to preview the FA Cup. A massive week for City. Started very well with the title race boost, and let's see if it ends well with a big Champions League game and an FA Cup game. But we'll see you throughout the week. Thanks for joining us. Give us a follow as ever on your podcast platforms and on YouTube, and we will be back soon.